And we're back on Sides Uncovered, week five wrap up here. I did promise you we'd try to get to a another podcast for the week before our preview show. Today on the show, gonna go over a few topics. Obviously going to talk about the games of the week. Gonna look ahead to week six. I'll give you my top 10 at the end. And we're gonna also talk about what is gonna happen at Arkansas. Because they're going to need a new coach. But I'll start with this. Obviously, everyone knows I'm a massive Mississippi State fan. We take a tough loss yesterday, and I can talk about that till the cows come home, tell you, this is what we did wrong, this is what we did wrong, and go over why we lost and all that. I'm not going to do that because the podcast will be 3 hours long. I'm going to talk about this, and I think it's pertinent in this time, day and age of college football with all this NIL fans paying for a lot of stuff. And it's this: hope makes you care. Hope and results make you and that does make the losses hurt. That was me yesterday. That loss hurt. It hurt a lot. It hurts to be in that position and not be able to close, but it especially hurts if you're a team like Mississippi State, who is now, I think, has lost 13 straight SEC games. And I mean, went 2-10 last year. We finally had a little bit of positive momentum. You were 4-0. And, you take one on the chin. You do. But hope made that fun. It had you invested. And I think a lot of programs, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the investment from fans. And yesterday, Mississippi State had that. Now, you can talk about the fact that Tennessee had like 20,000 people in the stadium. I think it was closer to probably 30. You can talk about, what moving forward for Mississippi State, kind of what that looks like. I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of that, but I know yesterday, they gave state fans a reason to care. They gave you a reason to be invested. And that feels good to have that feeling. And I think a lot of programs right now, they're looking for that. You talk about these teams that fire their coaches, two or three games in the season. That's what they're looking for. They're wanting investment and care. I think Arkansas, we're going to talk about that in a second. I think that's what they're looking for. They don't have that right now. I think you go to Alabama last night, Alabama, Georgia. Alabama doesn't win that game. DeBoer's really, really on a hot seat. But they do. He gave them hope. He showed them results that, hey, I'm 7-1 now against top 10 teams. I'm 2-0 against Georgia. He's given them something to look for and point at if he loses. A lot of coaches don't have that. But overall, yeah, it was a fun day to care again for Mississippi State athletics or Mississippi State football. It sucks to lose, though. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm into moral victories because I'm not. Because at the end of the day, our record reads 4-1, 0-1 in the SEC, and you have to go to College Station next weekend for what's going to be a very, very tough game. And it's a team who's probably going to come in as a top five ranked team. And I don't know the last time Mississippi State's beaten a top 10 team on the road. LSU, maybe LSU 2014, but they may have been like 12 or something at that point. I don't even know if they were in the top 10. I really can't think of a time, probably before my lifetime. But we'll get onto that later on in the week. We'll probably preview that game a little bit. Gonna go move on now to Fayetteville. Arkansas, just it feels like yesterday was the bottom out. I mean, Notre Dame is a I'm not gonna sit here and tell you Notre Dame's a bad team. They've lost two games by a combined 4 points. And it feels like it's just getting worse and worse in Fayetteville. I don't know what exactly that can be done in that situation. And I don't know if anything can be done in that situation. I really don't. But I mean, you look forward for Arkansas now. They obviously, I think they have a bye this week. Yeah, they get a bye. I mean, we're sitting here at 10:21 a.m. on a Sunday. I mean, if you tell me Sam Pittman's fired by 10:21 tomorrow morning, I'd probably believe you. I mean, you go to Tennessee, A&M at home, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home. I mean, all three of those teams at home probably beat you. I mean, Mississippi State looks a lot better. I think we talked about that just a minute ago, and I'll continue to talk about it. I think Mississippi State looks a lot better defensively right now and looks good offensively. Got some things to clean up. But I mean, if you're Arkansas, you're now 2-3. You know, you bottomed out. You know, you had lost two close games. Arguably, you should have been 4-0 going into this game. You lose a game, you know, at Ole Miss where you fumble going into the end zone or on the game-winning drive. You fumbled literally basically going into the end zone against Memphis. And then, I mean, Notre Dame just comes in and absolutely beats the mess out of you. And I mean, defensively right now, I do know this. Arkansas will either Sam Pittman's going to be fired or the defensive coordinator is going to be fired. I don't know which one. Somebody's getting fired this week, though. I can go ahead and tell you. I mean, you can't give up 41, 32, and 56 in consecutive games and keep your job. Not in this league, especially when you got a trip to Tennessee coming up. Again, we just talked about it, selling hope. I don't know what Arkansas can sell right now because they can't sell results and they can't sell hope. So I don't really know what you can sell if you're Arkansas. You know, I talked about, you know, if you do fire Pittman, I think Petrino obviously takes over. Look, you got Petrino, who is a former head coach. Heck, he's a former head coach at Arkansas on staff. I think you just let him finish out the season, but it's obvious the change is going to come. Then it turns to who's it's going to be. I think the hot name is going to be Rhett Lashley at SMU. Obviously, I think there's probably some Arkansas fans that are a tad bit gun shy about going to get another SMU coach, as Chad Morris was the SMU coach before he was at Arkansas. I think this is a little bit different of a situation. Look, Rhett Lashley's from Arkansas, and he'd get to coach in the SEC. I think it makes a lot of sense. There's some rumors out there that Hunter Yurecek, the AD, wants out. He wants the Oklahoma job. If that was the case, the name I keep hearing is the new SMU AD, Anthony Hart. It kind of makes sense if you get the AD, go get the head football coach. He's got that relationship with him. I think that's the name that makes the most sense. I think if he turned you down, you probably turn to G.J. Kinney at Texas State. A guy we've mentioned ad nauseum. I think Eric Morris at North Texas, a guy we mentioned. You know, I've seen some people throw Gus Malzahn's name out there. I don't know that Gus wants to be a head coach anymore. He seems to like the role at Florida State, just being the offensive coordinator. You know, doesn't get blamed for when your defense can't stop anybody, like Friday night for them. I don't know. There's a few names out there. Obviously, you could throw out there. Ben Arbuckle, Washington State or Oklahoma offense coordinator, who was at Washington State. He, you know, kind of revitalized that offense. But again, that's offensive coordinator. So I think you'd have to kind of, you know, really lower your expectations there if that was what you were going with Arkansas. But they're going to make Rhett Lashley say no. And then probably going to try to make him say no again because. Make of it what you will. The owner of the Dallas Cowboys is Jerry Jones. He lives in Highland Park. SMU's campus is in Highland Park. Jerry Jones graduated from Arkansas. Make of that what you will. That's why I think at the end of the day, it's real, actually, who will be the next head coach at Arkansas. Kind of pivoting a little bit to what we saw yesterday, now that we've gotten the obligatory firing talk out of the way that seems to just really resonate on this podcast for the last 3 weeks. And we'll probably talk about it Friday because I imagine Sam Pittman probably going to be fired, or somebody's going to be fired. I mean, we're averaging off firing a week at this point. But going through the games of the week review, we'll start in Oxford. Ole Miss LSU. I don't know a whole lot of what to say on this game. Because what the hell is LSU doing on offense? Like, what is Joe Sloan doing? I'm being serious. What is he doing offensively? Because they look like crap. I understand you didn't have your running back yesterday. I get that. But you didn't even attempt to run the ball. You did not attempt to run it. You did not attempt to throw it short. Ole Miss was not going to let you beat them deep. And so your solution there was, we're still going to throw deep. Yeah, you lost Anton or Aaron Anderson. Okay, that's even more reason. Throw it short. You've got Tre'Davious Green at tight end. Throw him the ball. Get him involved in the pass game. And it was just like, nah, we're going to chunk it deep. I mean, it every drive was 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. You know, it was just like, just shot themselves in the foot. And look, that's not to take away from Ole Miss, because I thought Pete Golding called a really good game. I thought Lane and Charlie Weiss called an incredible game offensively. You know, they knew Trinidad Chambliss was not going to just throw the ball all over the field. I thought they kept his reads, you know, good. I thought they kept them pretty short. It's pretty limited in the terms of like, okay, you're not going to go 1, 2, 3, check down. It's going to be one and you're there at two. I mean, you look at his stats, they were still really good. He threw for 314 yards. He was 23 of 39. But, you know, Ole Miss runs the ball for 170, 23 carries for Kewan Lacy, 87 yards, 14 for Chambliss for 71. Finally, Caden Lee shows up for Ole Miss. They really needed him to start getting going. He does have the fumble on the goal line, but, you know, it doesn't end up biting him. Nussmeier on the other side, 21 of 34, 197 yards. I mean, yikes. That's just bad. It's just really bad. LSU runs 21 times for 59 yards. You're a college football team in a 60-minute game, and you ran 42 offensive plays. 42. Ole Miss had 14 penalties for 109 yards, and you couldn't capitalize. LSU 2 for 11 on third down. Ole Miss only wins the time of possession by 5 minutes, but I mean, it felt like it was 105 minutes. I mean, Ole Miss runs, let's see, what was that? 65 plays to LSU's 42. I mean, just, I don't know what LSU's going to do because, you know, you talk about it with this conference, nothing gets easier. You look at what LSU has coming up, and they're now 4-1. And you get South Carolina, they get a bye. You get South Carolina at home, who doesn't look great. Then you go to Nashville to play Vandy, who is probably going to be ranked in the top 15 come this week. I mean, nothing gets easier. Then you get A&M at home. Then you go to Bama. I mean, they got to figure this offense out, or it's gonna get dicey quick for Brian Kelly. On the other side, Ole Miss now, their path to the playoff looks pretty easy. They get a bye, then get Washington State. They go to Georgia, who doesn't look unbeatable anymore. They go to OU. You have to see what John Mateer is gonna look like. Then they get South Carolina at home. That's a dub. At this point, South Carolina looks terrible. They get Citadel, okay, layup. They get Florida, who may have one win at that point, may have two. And then the Egg Bowl, which all of a sudden looks like a hell of a ball game on the Friday after Thanksgiving. But I mean, Ole Miss's path to the playoff looks really easy right now. If you're an Ole Miss fan, I'd love your path at this point. You know, Lane and Weiss have called perfect games for Chambliss. They haven't done anything that has really thrown him off. And, you know, Washington State can't stop anybody with a pulse offensively. You look, they gave up 59 to North Texas and 59 to Washington. You look at the game since for North Texas, I mean, 45 in an overtime against Army and 36 against South Owl. And you look for Washington, who I don't think scored. They scored six yesterday against Ohio State, who obviously better defense. But so, I mean, you're not real worried if you're Ole Miss there. Georgia's going to present problems because Georgia is Georgia and it's at Georgia. It's going to be a night game. And look, call it what you will. Lane does not play well on the road against ranked teams. He just doesn't. And then you go to OU. That's a tough one. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Coming out of this bye, I think they're going to roll with Chambliss from here on out. And look, here's the thing that Ole Miss fans need to be ready for. That's going to cause Austin Simmons to transfer. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right here, right now, Austin Simmons is transferring if you don't go back to him. He just will. He will transfer and he'll go somewhere in the SEC. Get ready for it. And you're going to have to go find a quarterback, which means you're going to have to spend a minimum of $2 million to go get a quarterback out of the portal. And that's going to cost you money elsewhere. Whereas you've been able to build these great rosters because, you know, you had Jackson Dart, who was probably playing on a pretty team-friendly deal. You had Simmons locked up on a nice deal, but I mean, you probably still had him in a little bit of a discount. You're not going to be able to have anybody in a discount anymore. You're not. So Ole Miss needs to strike while the iron's hot. You know, if Chambliss is your guy, roll with Chambliss. It'd be interesting to see what they do going forward, though. Again, like I said, Chambliss is your best quarterback right now. I think I said this on Friday. You know, Chambliss right now is your best quarterback. Simmons is the best quarterback moving forward. But you can't play for moving forward. You have to play for now. Moving on, Bama and Georgia. I mean, I'll admit it. I missed the game or missed the call. I missed on this. The black hoodie apparently makes a difference. I don't know what got into Alabama, but they looked great. Now, part of that is probably not facing as dynamic of an offense. You know, Gunnar Stockton's not really a threat to run. And Georgia just, I mean, Georgia looked out of sync the entire night. They just never looked like they could figure it out offensively. Just really looked like they struggled. And could some of that be what Cain Womack does? Yeah, it could be. I don't think it is, but it could be. I mean, again, the stats bear it out for you if you're Georgia. Gunnar Stockton throws for 130 yards. 130 yards. This is after coming off a performance against Tennessee where he threw for 304. And in that game, you ran for 198. Last night, you run for 227, which is good, but you pass for 130. You've got to be able to, I mean, Lawson Lucky, no catches. Oscar Delp, no catches. Zachariah Branch, three. Dylan Bell, no catches. Very easy to see why you lost. You don't get your playmakers involved. And a lot of that's Mike Bobo's play calling. Whereas you go to Alabama, Isaiah Horton, five catches. Ryan Williams, five catches. Jeremy Bernard, five catches. Jam Miller, 16 carries. Not hard to see this. Alabama got their playmakers involved. Georgia didn't. That was the difference in the game. Alabama trusted Ty Simpson, and he, look, it paid off. They gave him the trust, and he rewarded it with a hell of a performance. If that's the Alabama we see moving forward, that's an Alabama that can be in the college football playoff and make noise. It is. That's an Alabama that can get there. For Georgia, I don't know what comes next. I'm sure they're off next week. Well, okay, they got Kentucky. So, yeah, they're off next week. Then they go to Auburn. Hugh Freeze is going to be coaching for his job in that one. And they're coming off a bye. You're going to have to score to beat them. Then they got Ole Miss at home. Then they go to Jacksonville for the Florida game. Then they got Mississippi State, who all of a sudden looks better. I'm just telling you, this is the thing with the SEC. This is what it does to you because it will beat you up. And this is what I talked about with Mississippi State earlier. Like, it's great to have hope and all this, but at the end of the day, your record reads 0-1 in the conference. Georgia's reads 1-1 right now in the SEC. And they got to be ready to go next week in 6, 7 days. They got to be ready to go. For Alabama. And I don't think it's been announced yet, but I know if game day is not there, then SEC Nation will be. Vandy, Alabama. Did anybody ever say, oh, that's college game day right there? Yeah, and it has been revealed, by the way. It will be Tuscaloosa for Vandy, Alabama. I don't think in my lifetime I ever thought I would say in public, or anywhere outside of a dream, that Vanderbilt was going to be college game day as the road team. A lot of people thought it might be Miami, Florida State. Florida State loses Friday night. I'm not really going to get into that. They can't stop anybody. Literally cannot stop anybody. But, wow. College game day heads to Tuscaloosa for the prime time matchup. Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt and Alabama. And I'm going to go ahead and I'll predict this later in the week. Alabama will beat Vanderbilt by 3 scores Saturday. And it may be worse. They are going to make the Cain Womack is going to make Diego Pavia's life a living hell Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Because let me make this real clear. They are going to be playing that clip all week of him talking. It's going to be a bad game for Diego Pavia because Alabama is going to be gunning for him from snap one. But man, wow. Game day. Heads to Tuscaloosa for Vandy Bama. Did not see that one coming. Last game of the week, we're going to talk about. We talked about it Friday, and kind of said James Franklin can't win the big game, and it bared out. James Franklin doesn't win the big game. Penn State in double overtime, and I don't think, by the way, that Penn State played bad. I thought they played pretty good. I mean, Drew Aller's numbers are not terrible. By the way, I said not terrible. I didn't say they were good. 14 of 25, 137 yards. Okay, maybe they weren't great. They did run for 139, but I mean, Nick Singleton, your supposed all league workhorse back, goes 11 carries, 21 yards. Dan Lanning did a great job of scheming that. Dante Moore for Oregon, 29, 39, 248, 3 touchdowns. DeCorian Moore, who's going to probably win freshman of the year. 7 catches, 89 yards. True freshman, guys. True freshman. Oregon right now looks like one of the best teams in America. I know, shocker. I can already tell you, Oregon is everybody off next week except like four teams? Good gosh. Oregon off next week. They'll get Indiana at home in 2 weeks. That's college game day. I'll go ahead and tell you. Then they go to Rutgers, get Wisconsin at home, go to Iowa, get Minnesota at home, get USC at home, go to Washington. So, I mean, Oregon, as long as they don't have a slip up, they'll go undefeated. That's 12-0, and they'll play in the Big 10 championship for the second straight year. For Penn State, I mean, go to UCLA, Northwestern at home, go to Iowa, then they go to Ohio State. It's probably your second loss right there. Then get Indiana at home. I don't know what to make of that one. Go to Penn State, get Nebraska, or go to Michigan State, get Nebraska at home, go to Rutgers. I mean, still probably a 10-2 at worst season for Penn State. Probably still can get in the playoffs with that. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on that one. I didn't really watch a whole lot of it. I was watching Alabama, Georgia. But I mean, it's what we talked about. James Franklin can't win the big game, and Drew Aller's not an elite quarterback. He can't make those plays for you. So, I mean, it bears out again. You don't have to watch to know what's going to happen. Looking ahead now for next week, I don't think it's as many good games, and we'll preview a lot of them next week. Oh man, the old Fighting Deons lost last night. They were up 14-0 in that one. That's unfortunate. Not really, but it is sad nonetheless. So yeah, Colorado loses 2-3. Just saw that because BYU plays West Virginia Friday night, 9:30. Good God. I mean, games of the week, Vandy, Alabama. That's gonna be a huge game. Can't believe I just said that, but Vandy, Alabama, we previewed it just a little bit just a minute ago. I think that's gonna be a huge game. I think Bama wipes the floor with them, but I think it's got a lot of hype around it. Miami, Florida State, the other ranked on ranked matchup, at in the Doak. Florida State just better hope they can hang 60, because Miami may hang 56. Outside of that, Mississippi State A&M ought to be a good game at 6:30. Texas, Florida, be interesting. Notre Dame, Boise State will be interesting. A sneaky game here. Talk about it a little bit, and we'll touch on it on Friday. Texas Tech, Houston. Houston, little had a comeback Friday night. Now 4-0, probably. Maybe ranked coming into this one, and at Houston. Be interesting. We may talk about that one. And then Colorado, TCU. TCU is going to beat Colorado's eyes shut. Storylines is exactly that. It's Pavia going against Bama again after he talked all the talk last year. That's it. Arch Manning's first SEC road start, I guess you could say. Probably a swan song for Billy Napier, if we're being honest. We'll kind of touch on everything, you know, as we move through the week. Going to kind of be more of a quiet week. We will now get to our last segment, our top 10 teams, or my top 10 teams. No, this is not a ranking. No, I am not any official capacity with the AP poll, but this is mine. Number one, Ohio State. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. They're the defending national champions that haven't lost. Number two, Oregon. A lot of people may have Miami here. I think Oregon's had more impressive wins because they did have to go to Penn State in the whiteout. That's why I got them two. Miami three. I think Miami's had impressive wins, but they've done it at home. And I don't know how tough Saturday will be for them. I mean, Alabama or Florida State can't stop anything defensively. So they're three. This one pains me as a Mississippi State fan, but number four, Ole Miss. Right now, with the way Lane is calling games, and the way Chambliss is playing, their defense is playing, I'm they're the number four team in America. Number five. This also pains me because we have to play them this week. A&M did not look nearly as impressive on Saturday. I don't know if that was more Auburn or more of them playing a defense with a pulse. But regardless, they won, so they're number five. Number six, Bama. I mean, you saw it. That's about all I can say. You saw it. You saw it bear out that this is a team that's good. This is a team. If that Bama is number six. The Bama we saw against Florida State's not ranked. But I think you see that Bama more moving forward. Number seven. I mostly just have them here because it was a double overtime loss to the team that I now have number two, Penn State. And they don't play anybody, man. So they're not going to fall really anymore. I don't really think there's anything special about them, but they were ranked high in the preseason. So if they continue to win, they'll continue to be ranked high. Number eight, Iowa State. I think they're the best team in the Big 12 right now. They're now 5-0 in the year. And, all signs now pointing towards Saturday, November 8th. I think that's their toughest game left on the schedule because they get BYU and Arizona State at home. They go to TCU on November 8th. I think that win would put them into the Big 12 title game. And I think they'd win it. I think right now they're one of the 10 best teams in the country. What Matt Campbell has done with them, I think it's going to put them in the playoffs this year. Number nine, Georgia. Yeah, they look bad. Okay, that happens. They've also looked really good offensively this year, and they're still Georgia. I think they're going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they're going to be okay moving forward. I don't think it's anything long term to worry about. They got to figure some things out offensively, but they're still a really good football team. And number 10, Tennessee. Offensively, they're really, really good. Defensively, they do some things that can cause you problems, especially up front. They have some things to get ironed out, but I think they're a really good team moving forward. I think them and Bama is going to be an absolute rock fight. But that right now is my 10, subject to change weekly. Heck, it's subject to change in 3 or 4 days. But that's what we got for this show. A little bit shorter of a show just because it's the wrap-up show. We will have our usual Friday show. Going to preview week six and a light week, but hey, it's college football. We got to enjoy it while it's here. If your team won yesterday, congrats. If your team lost, well, I'm right there with you. But it was great because it was college football. We watched it from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. That will be all for the show. Everybody have a great week. Talk to you on Friday.